Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, we'll live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, Lord. We thank you for spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Jesus and the knowledge of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you turn to Matthew 13, verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 30, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Mysteries, secrets of hidden truths. Verse 12, For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Say, thank you, Lord. My eyes see, my ears hear, in the name of Jesus. Verse 17, For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. For when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. The wayside was the garden's pathway where people walked in between the crop, where they walked when they sowed the seed. And as they walked up and down the path, and you've seen them, you've seen farms where there's a pathway in between. Well, that's hard. That was what he was referring to when he said the wayside, where the seed was sown on that hard ground. Now, the Word of God is very clear with us in this. It says that we must understand the word in order for it not to be stolen. You see, devil has a job. His job is to try to steal the word. I agree that he self-employed himself to this job, but that's what he does. Now, rest assured, because the word of God tells us that's what he goes about doing. Okay? All kinds of teaching about Satan and what he's up to and what he's doing and why he gets to do this, that, and the other. Okay? The Word of God makes it very clear to us what he's about. He's about killing, stealing, destroying. First, killing, stealing, and destroying the Word of God that's in you. See, we think that he goes around killing, stealing, and destroying out in the natural realm, and he takes... Look, if he were able to kill, everybody would be dead. You get that? Especially in the body of Christ. He can't. Jesus took the power of death away from him. Amen? You agree? Okay. But what does he do? He follows the Word of God around. What he's interested in is that the children of God get no word. Why? Because the power is in the Word. Now, understand something forever. This Word of God, Bible, with all of the promises and all of the truth that's in here, will benefit no one on earth or personally until the truth is planted in a heart. God has chosen in his creating everything to say that the only way the Word of God is going to release its power, the power of it, and release in the earth the benefits of it, the only way that's going to happen is because individuals take this Word and sow it in their heart. This Word must have a human heart in order to bear fruit. I know this. I grew up in a Catholic family. We had Bibles that wiped the dust off, man. No one ever opened them. No one ever, and they were pretty. We'd look at the nice cover on them. But I assure you, at no time in my youth was there ever in my home growing up any benefit of the Word of God happening. It got nothing to do with denomination and all the rest of it that we make it into. You know, I can't tell you how much God does not care, okay, about what religion someone was brought up in. That isn't even a blip on his radar. Why? Because he's looking for a heart. Now, we know that Jesus put the ground, okay, as a teaching aid to us, and that relates to our human heart. What is the human heart? Well, I asked the Lord, Lord, you got to tell me. I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff. The heart's this, 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 this. He said, Lord, what is it? He said, well, for starters, it's the part of you you can't see. You know, he's always good about that. Yeah, it's a part of me I can't see. Can you see spirit with your physical eyes? No. Can you see your soul? your mind, your will, your emotions, your ability to perceive in your heart, your ability to envision. That's all soul, isn't it? So where does the Word of God, where is it sown? In our heart. Okay. Spirit, soul. The spirit portion of our heart communicates with God, because He is a spirit. And that spirit portion of our heart then enlightens our soul. And we have understanding in our mind. Amen? Got it? Now, in order for the word to be sown in a heart, and Jesus puts it very clear here, it must be heard. Say, well, that seems so simple. Well, years ago, I said, Lord, you need to make it simple for me. You know how it is. It must be heard. So therefore, Jesus is not dealing with anybody who hasn't heard the word. Now, I can tell you something clearly. Anybody who hasn't heard the word will not have any trouble with Satan. But they're also unsaved. You must hear the word. You must hear the word. You must hear the word to receive what God has offered freely, salvation. Anybody who does not hear the word cannot receive salvation. Well, where do you get that from? Paul said, how will they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear if there's not a preacher sent? When everybody raise your right hand, say, I'm a preacher. Hallelujah. Because God called the what? Whole body of Christ to go and do what? Tell people that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart He's raised from the dead, you're saved. I mean, that's all I got to do? Yep. Oh, I thought there was more. Nope. Those who call upon the name of the Lord. What's the Lord's name? Jesus. Those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. I thought there was more. Nope. Well, that's just too easy. Then why is 3/4 of the earth still not saved? How come there's family members in your family that have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior if it's that easy? He gives us the answer. They have not heard. I remember when I was at the stage where I was before the Lord years and years ago, I first called to the ministry, and I was wanting to know what God had for me to do, you know, like you do sometimes, right, Javier? So anyway, I said, Lord, I want to go where the gospel has not been heard, like Paul. And I knew a couple that were preparing to go to Indonesia, and they were going to a place where the gospel has not been heard. And the Lord said to me, son, you're in a country right now, United States, where the gospel has not been heard. I said, how's that even possible? With the TV, with all of this, all the internet, everything that's going on and all that. He said, I'm telling you, there are people who have not yet heard the gospel and they live in your neighborhood. I can give you a truth. May sound simple, but it's very true, and it'll serve you well. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Well, I just assumed. Most people say that after the problem came, from the assumption. Well, I just assumed everybody has heard. Why am I, what, because he keeps talking about having heard. Listen, Hebrew word for understand, meaning. Sometimes we hear understand and we think we understand it. What does understand mean? Well, I mean, I've heard that all my life, understand. Well, it's very, very important because Jesus said if they hear it and they don't understand it, they lose it immediately. You know, the Hebrew meaning is to hear. This is the word for, this is the meaning for understand. Anybody can go to your computer and look these up and read them and get more understanding anytime that you choose. It's the Hebrew word qual, which is Q-A-L. To hear of or concerning, to hear, to have the power to hear with attention or interest, to understand, to hear, as of like a judicial case where the judge hear the case, to listen, yield to be regarded, be obeyed, to cause to hear, call to hear, summons, to make proclamation. This is the Hebrew word for understand. Do you remember there was a TV program on? It was Star Trek. Anybody ever see Star Trek? Reruns, right? And on Star Trek was Worf. And Worf wanted to exonerate his father, who was designated a traitor to the Klingon Empire. So he goes to the Klingon home world, and he's in front of the big dude, the guy that runs the show. And they're talking, and he wants his father, Worf wants his father exonerated and put back to honor. Because his family was dishonored, discommentation. And the big counselor guy, the head dude, says to Worf, "You can't do this. There's way more at stake here than just your family honor. It's the stability of the whole Klingon Empire." Well, Worf leaves and he gets with the captain. And the captain and Worf come back and show up. And Worf is, he's pounding the drum. He wants his father put back in honor, honor, honor. And the head guy of the Empire looks at Worf and he said, "Worf, I told you that you cannot do this. You'll bring the empire down." And he makes this statement. He says, "But you did not hear me." Why did he say that? Obviously, he spoke the words, didn't he? Obviously, he was standing right there. And the words went forth from him, and he was saying, "You can't do this because you're going to destroy the whole deal here." But he said to him, "But you did not hear me." Why did he know that he didn't hear him? Because he was standing there doing the opposite of what he said. Wasn't he? I was watching that at the time. I said, "Look at that Bible principle right there." even on a secular program. Bible principles show up everywhere if you look for them. And what is the word saying? What is he saying there about understanding? When have you heard? Well, go to the Greek rendering, and it says, this is the Greek, I read you the Hebrew, to perceive with the mind, to understand, to have understanding, to think upon, heed, ponder, consider. There are people who hear the word sown, and they don't give it a second thought. They don't give it any attention. They dismiss it out of hand. I don't agree with that. I got news for you. Get this. One of the biggest ways you learn is when you think about something you don't agree with. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean you're right. Many of the big breakthroughs that I've had is because I heard something that this mind was saying, what? No way. And yet, it was true. And you shall know the truth, and that truth sets you free. And that's what the truth of the word does. It rattles your cage. Doesn't it? Just because you never heard it before doesn't mean it's not true. There's only one all-knowing, isn't there? That's God. So, so important to understand that for many, many Christians, the reason why they're experiencing so little of what Jesus did on the cross and everything that God has done for us. See, the walk and the journey with the Lord is a journey of receiving what he's done. The heart of God is giving, not taking. And he's not pleased, trust me when I tell you this, when there is a gathering of the saints together and he's not allowed to give. He does not like that. I've had times where I was ministering to the Lord, praise and worship, just me, having a good time do that, and the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, you need to stop right now because I want to minister to you. I really like to hear that. And it's always good. Amen. Please be free from the idea that God has any selfishness in him at all. There is none. It's not, you better praise me or else. The big beard. It's not that. It's our being in a position like what Jesus told Peter, throw the nets out to receive the blessing that's already coming. Don't miss it by not throwing the net out. Amen. It's not all about you better serve me or else. God screaming with a big stick in his hand, you better serve me or else. It's going to go bad for you. God's not in the bad business. Amen. See? Good God. Bad devil. We need to keep that straight. Okay? So, where's the beginning? The beginning is hearing, isn't it? As long as it takes for me to hear, I'm going to take that long to hear it. What does that mean? Hear it to the point of the understanding. Hear it to where, because what you don't understand, you don't know what to do. We only will act upon what we understand. Amen? So if someone's making a call for salvation with a group of people, whatever it is, a crusade, this, that, evangelistically, and that person says, come give your life to Jesus, if that person doesn't understand what you mean, they're not moving anywhere. Huh? Have understanding as to what they're doing. Amen? Why is it that people have a problem when it comes to assembling themselves together, or they have a problem when the Word of God says, so He sets every member in the body as He pleases? Well, first, they don't understand it. Why? Because they think it's negotiable. That doesn't say that, does it? Father knows best. Well, aren't I supposed to decide? Well, you can if you want to. And God will protect your right to make that decision because you have a free will. But if you give it a little bit of thought and you say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, that I'm the righteousness of God. I'm as right with God as Jesus is. And now, because of that, I can go to God and get His wisdom. Well, why would I want my own? I've done my own before, and I've screwed things up pretty good. Get this. There are people, and you all, see, you're here right now, and you're understanding everything I'm telling you. I mean, it's there. There are people who will hear the exact same thing I'm saying and not perceive and not understand. Even as plain as God knows everything, go to the one who knows everything, and He'll help you. So you don't make a mistake. No, I have to run everything. And the Lord says, this is a job for you. This is a better job. This is a better place. No, I have to make my own decision. I'll get a job where I want. Well, you can. You're entitled. You have your own free will. Go for it. Let me know how it comes out, okay? Why wouldn't I go to someone who knows everything that's going to happen? Duh. So why doesn't everybody do that? Well, for one, they all haven't heard what I just told you. So how would they believe what they have not heard? And what I'm sharing with you is the Word of God. The Word says to me, God knows everything. The Word says to me, God knows everything that's going to come. The Word says to me that God is more than willing to give us His wisdom. Well, if I don't hear that, how could that word bear any fruit in anyone's life? So the blessed saints of God who are staying away in hordes, in thousands and multiplied thousands, staying away from hearing the word, what chance do they have? Zero. None. Well, you don't understand. The Eagles are playing. All right. Well, would you need some wisdom? How about going to the Eagles? Can I help you out? Huh? Never heard one testimony or praise report yet how the owner of the Eagles gave wisdom to anybody. Well, that's the other amazing part. The price of tickets. Whew. I've had pastors that have been talking to me all the time trying to tell me, John, you can't give out the teachings and the CDs and stuff for free. You must charge. So I don't want to charge. The gospel is free. But they do make a point. He said, if you let them have it for free, they won't value it. I don't know anybody that's bought a ticket to a football game, didn't bust their gut to get there on time. I don't want to miss the kickoff. Well, one reason for that is what? They just paid $75 for the ticket or whatever it is. I'm going to get my money's worth. Church, first question today, heart and mind, honest answer, how much do you value the Word of God? What's it worth to you? Sometimes people say, I don't understand why everybody's not in the Word of God all the time and every day and so forth and so on. And the answer is not difficult. They don't value it. Where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Whatever you value the most, that's where your heart is. Not maybe. The Word of God is very clear about things like that. It doesn't say where your treasure is, your heart might be over there. It doesn't even say that you have an opportunity to change its course. It says your heart will be there. So what is our opportunity? Where's my treasure? Amen. Where your treasure is. If my treasure is, I'm working for IBM, and my treasure is in IBM, my heart's there. Isn't it? Now, the reason that happens is because instead of the Word of God being sown in the heart, okay, some other word is being sown. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. Everything that happens to you in this lifetime, out here in this natural realm, is a result of what's in your heart. The Great Depression, you saw the pictures when the stock market crashed in 1929. They were even holding hands when they jumped out of the building. Their treasure was gone. And their heart was there. Now, I want to leave you with this. And what does this have to do? This is all about the parable of the sower. This is all about the seed that's sown and what seed you allow and what seed you understand or you pay attention to, that you take that seed and you begin to act upon that seed. As this word of God is sown in my heart on praise, for example, as that grows, it's because of the power of the word of God that I praise working in me. Amen? So when Paul said, I dare not speak of anything that God hasn't done in and through me through the Word of God working in and through me. Amen? To bear fruit 100-fold. Are you getting this? Now, if your treasure is anywhere other than where the Word of God is, if your treasure is not the Word of God, if the Word of God is not the most valuable thing to you, listen to me very carefully, your heart is going to be somewhere else. And I assure you, if your heart is going to be somewhere else, you're going to experience a broken heart. Jesus said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to poor, heal the brokenhearted. What's a broken heart? It's a heart that when it remembers something of the past, something that someone did to them, something bad, something said to them, and so forth, there's hurt, there's pain. And they do anything to get away from that. Can you see the principle there? Can you see how if you say, well, the Word of God is not where what I value. I value this over here. I value this company. I value this. I value even your family members more than the Word of God. The only end result can be brokenheartedness, because that treasure has to let you down. People spend their whole life on running a business and trying to have a business. The business goes under and goes bankrupt, and their heart's broken. Why? Because they put everything into that. And the Word of God, when it's sown in the heart, it doesn't do well in a broken heart. It's like hard ground you've seen where the sun has baked it out and there's all these cracks in it and it's so hard that nothing can grow there. Parents saying things to children, especially young children, when they grow up and it gets in their heart, you never amount to anything. On and on. And you've heard those things and you know about those things. elderly people that I've ministered to work 30 years for a company and they get the gold watch. And see you later. Once you were important, now we don't have time for you. Think that don't break their heart? People that have sinned against you. And they were wrong. Well, I don't want to be around them. I want to talk to them. My grandmother told her sister that she would never speak to her again and never talk to her for 24 years till she died. Never did. Because her heart was broken. Instead of getting the healing for it, you cover it up. You put the salve on it. You put this the Vaseline, make it feel better. There's no such thing as a divorce where both parties don't have brokenheartedness. None. No such thing. Can't be. Just the tearing of it. Things teachers have said to children growing up. Words. Hurtful words. Well, why does that hurtful word hurt? It's because you valued that word. That's what causes it. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And children automatically value the teacher's word. We used to have this trouble when our children were growing up. We had to make sure they understood it was what we were saying is tops. What the teacher's saying is second. So if we realize that they were receiving something that wasn't right, we could correct it, and they would value our word over theirs. Treasure. Value. Well, John, why aren't people in the Word of God? Why aren't they flocking? Value. Treasure. Amen. There's some right here now, you need your heart healed. And God says, I'm healing right now. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing hearts right now. You need to forgive everyone that's ever hurt you. I forgive them now in the name of Jesus. Well, how do I do that forgiving? There's no forgiving without the saying. Well, you don't understand, Pastor John. I do that in my heart. I have people say that. I don't really praise out loud, Pastor John. I have the praise in my heart. I say, well, how about letting somebody else tell that you do? Don't work that way. If the praise is in your heart, it has to get out. Amen? And how does it get out? By what we say. Why? Why do you know that? Because the Word of God taught me a long time ago. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, I hate them. I hate what they do. And you tell everybody that's willing to listen to you, say, I hate them. I hate what they do. What's in their heart? hate. I don't know how far I have to go with this. I'm going to go a little farther. The Spirit of God is prompting me a little farther. Who you been talking about lately that you ought to be talking about? You have forgiveness for him. Your heart needs healing. It's bruised. Set at liberty whose hearts are bruised. The same thing happens inside of us as when you have a bruise on your flesh. It hurts. Oh, I'm okay now until somebody touches it, though. Until a similar thing happens that happened to you before, or a similar thing is said that was said to you before, and then what? It's being poked. We're to stand, amen? God says stand. Be firm. Be established. Well, how can you tell people to stand if they have a broken leg? So how can a broken-hearted person stand? Stand how? Stand on the confession of faith. Don't deviate from what you've been saying. Say what you believe. And stay there with it, and not abandon it, not wondering stuff. There is no doubt you're saved. Amen? I come around trying to cause you to doubt it. No, I didn't. You don't understand what I did before. You're forgiven everything. All of it. Right now. And God remembers it no more, so you don't remember it anymore. Amen? Amen. Look, if I want bad news, I only got to turn the TV on. I'm interested in what? Good news. And the good news says, I'm sowing this seed now. I'm watering what's there. You're forgiven everything. Every sin. There is nothing between you and God, no sin that separates us from God ever. Why? Because the blood of Jesus took care of it. Quit trying to pay for your sins when they've already been paid for. Amen. That's good news. I remember the day when it was a long time ago. And I was brought up Catholic, like I said, man. That penance stuff, ooh, what a killer. I've told this before, how I was 12 years old. I actually, at 9 years old, went into the confession with the priest and made up some sins because I didn't know I had any. So I had to make up a few so I could get out of there. Because the priest tried to convince me the time before, you got to have some sins. I said, I'm 9 years old. What do I know? So I lied twice. Can I get out of here? See? And then when I was 12 years old, he gives me penance. You got to do 3 good deeds. And I've told this before. I went out of there. I was so under pressure to do the 3 good deeds. I mean, I didn't even want to get home by that time. So I'm helping the old lady across the street. I get almost over. She goes, Sonny, I didn't want to go across the street. I said, okay, I'm going to bring you back. That's 2. All it does is keep you conscious of sin. Any time that you try to sacrifice for sin, it causes you to be conscious of it and keep wanting to. Jesus said, there is no more. I've done it. Amen. It was so bad, okay, because you had to go to the confession and then so you can take communion. They used to have confessional Saturday night. They moved it to Sunday morning so that you can go to confession and get up there to take communion before you sinned. I mean, I had cousins and all that. We go Saturday, 6 o'clock, whatever, to confessional. We go to Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning. They go, I can't take communion. I sinned yesterday. I said, like what, 20 minutes after you left? That's what the law does. It makes you sin. Doesn't it? But grace. I remember the first day I realized, Book of Romans, that it's the grace I stand in. All that penance stuff, the 50 Our Fathers and 25 Hail Marys went away. Glory to God. You know, I couldn't say those fast enough. Out, I'd be gone. Did it do anything? No. Our neighborhood was still poor. It was still a mess. We still were going through the gang things and all that. That big church building was up on the hill. Because after all, God was in it. Well, the day that I learned he ain't in the building, hallelujah. Where is he? He's in us. For some of you, you need some healing in your heart. For some of you, you need to finish it up and be made whole. Amen. You want to know the evidence of a heart that's whole? The evidence of a heart that doesn't need to be healed from a bruise or doesn't need to be healed from brokenness. And this can happen to born-again believers. This is not limited. This is part of the enemy plan. Wants to break your heart, kill you. When it looks bad, is there joy in your heart? Huh? Is the joy there no matter what the situation looks like? See, happiness is based on your circumstances. Joy is from the Lord in your heart. Joy is not based on circumstance, whether it's good or bad. Amen? I count it all joy no matter what the problem is. My question today, are you counting it all joy, no matter how bad it looks? If you're not, you need to stand up, get the healing. See, there's always fruit, isn't there, of the good tree, of the good heart. When the heart is good. And our good heart is not something we make good ourselves. Something the Lord does. You and I can work as hard as we can to have a good heart. And that ain't going to happen. But the Lord can do that in a minute. And I'm telling you right now, the power of God is here. Right now, for this specific purpose, heal the heart, take away the bruises, make you whole. If you're not able to give thanks in everything, no matter what it is, you need healing. Word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the way. Not for everything. I'm not thanking God for the problem. Don't misunderstand me. If you have an idea in your mind, a lie from the enemy that God brings bad stuff to you, trials, tribulations, all that, because he's trying to teach you something, lie. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. We're not of the world, we're in the world, but we're subject to its nonsense. How many of you know when a recession hits the world, it tries to hit everybody? Like it had tried. But we're exempt, glory to God. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for Jesus overcome. It's not a testimony to the glory of God when you say, well, if God didn't put me in the hospital, I wouldn't have. God didn't put you in the hospital. Amen. It's broken and bruised hearts that misperceive these things. That's why these kind of lies are able to be believed by. See, the enemy wants to lie to you. He wants you to believe the lie.